Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
We had an opportunity last night for there's a team going to Japan on a missions trip. And we, yeah, woo, that's right. I love the woos. Can I get a whoop whoop for all the wooers in the house? Woo, that's it. We had an opportunity last night to do a little fundraiser out here in the parking lot until 2:30 in the morning for Japan. So some of our team members were there with us rocking out. So I would want to let you know ahead of time that I definitely have a Red Bull kicker from the cafe going, maybe two. Can I also suggest the pineapple and coconut together? That is a great mixture. So if you feel like you want to try a Kodiak kicker, it's the place to be, all right? Great. But I can tell you that it's really, really interesting to be a part of it. I love this community. I love Fairbanks. I love the different things that we do here to celebrate, well, community. And it's so interesting when we are having people pull in, what we did is we asked people to consider to pay for parking. And what the proceeds were going to is for our missions trip to Japan. And when we would tell people what we were doing, we would let them know that we're teaching children English through a vacation Bible school. And it's so interesting that there, every single person that I got an opportunity to talk to found value in the idea that we are going there to teach English. And the reason why I bring that up is this: we all value what we have context with. So we value like what we understand or what we personally have seen in our own lives. Obviously, the need for the English language for all of us is kind of goes without being said, right? But also the idea of this, let me tell you, as we jump in, I love this book of James. I love the series we've been going through, but something that's so profound to me is this: what we value in our lives needs to go beyond what we can see, but ultimately to the value of what James is talking about, with rubber meeting the road, our relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, it's so interesting. When we begin to pray about God being our healer today, we're jumping into this message is on faith and divine healing. And as we jump in, I just want to encourage every single one of us here today just to be like, you know what? I've seen or maybe I've heard about God moving and maybe I've had a move in my own life before. But I want to encourage you to open your heart again and see him do some miraculous things or just open up a little bit more of faith and say, God, I value who you are. Because I know that you're here, and I know that you're listening, and that you're responding. Amen? Sounds good. So let's just jump in. I am super excited about it. This one, again, is called Making Faith Work. We're talking about divine healing. So as we've been going through this series, it's a very pastoral series, and we're talking about helping us grow. Someone say, grow. Look at somebody and, like, tell them, like, it's a command. Grow. All right, some of you guys are a little like height challenged. You're like, I'm trying, you know, but we are so glad that we all have an opportunity to grow together. Somebody say grow. That's right, absolutely. So James, being that pastoral series, we've talked about wisdom so far. We've talked about finding God's will for our life and taming the tongue. Someone go, ooh. The tongue, right? Today we are working and going through faith. And I think it's so interesting that James chooses to end his letter with us this week on a very controversial subject, that of divine healing. You know, there are different responders to divine healing. We have different spaces of thought. Those thoughts might be that if they're like God wouldn't move if there's sin in our lives. Other spaces of thought would be that divine healing and miracles ended with the apostles or the disciples of Jesus at that era. And then we have where we are here, and that's that we believe that what Jesus said in the New Testament, saying that he would, as he left, that he would send his Holy Spirit to be a comforter to all who would believe and accept him into their life. That literally, that means that God is with us, okay? And that there are miracles, signs, and wonders that are available and already active and a part of the world that we live in today, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, his promises never change. Therefore, if there's ever been one miracle, even one, that's happened since Jesus left earth, that means quite simply, divine healings for today. Can I get an amen on that? We're in a good shape? Oh, come on. I'm going to preach over here real quick and make sure people wake up. Can I get an amen on that? That's great. Okay, perfect. So as we jump into this, let's just get all of us on the same page. Let's jump to James chapter 5. When we're looking at verses 13 through 15, you can check it out on our app, on YouVersion. You also can look it up on your, look at your worship guide. Follow along there. Fill out the spaces. It's a great read to look at later on as well. So just want to encourage you to do that throughout the week. But let's jump into James 5:13. It says this, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Somebody say pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's, by the way, side note, I love people who respond. You don't have to respond in any specific way. Just respond, all right? I've got the ooh people, all right? There are people that just say hallelujah over here, right? I've got people that just give me the you know look. You know what I'm saying? They're like, yeah, that's good. You know what I mean? And every once in a while I hear a mm. You know what I mean? Can I get it? You know, that happens too. So whatever way you want to respond, I want to encourage you to feel free to do so, okay? So I'm sorry. Let's go back to God's word. Here we go. So let's go back. We're going to start where it says, and the prayer offered in faith. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You see, at the end of the service, I'm so excited about today because we're making space where after we receive the Lord's tithes and offerings, we get the chance to pray and to seek God for divine healing. The worship team is going to come back up. We're going to have some music going and encourage us to just spend some time seeking the Lord. And if there are things in your life that you're seeking God for, they're divine healing. It could be of reconciliation. It could be it could be obviously like your relationship with God, or maybe there's a physical thing that's taking place in your life or someone else's, or maybe it's fear, maybe it's turmoil, distress, or something that's holding you. Understand that God is in this space, and we want to make an opportunity for all of us to go after him today and to respond to him doing the miraculous in our life. I think that there's nothing better, and that's truly where the rubber meets the road for us today. And that is what James is talking about. If you are in trouble, it's time to pray. If you're happy, it's time to sing songs of praise. Anything that's going on in your life, there is a proper response to give glory to the one who can bring you through it all. There is a proper response, and it's a great opportunity for all of us together to do exactly that, to simply respond. Respond. You see, truly we believe that healing is for today. And so for us, as we take that time, let's just make sure that we posture our hearts toward heaven to hear from him. So here's the deal. Why does God, I know a lot of us ask this question. As we jump in, I'm going to show you guys some questions that we have. Also, the reason for how we can have faith and then moving forward. Sound good? So first thing that I always think a lot about is this. Why does God not always heal? Right? Because we understand that God's truth is number one is that God still heals, right? But why does he not always heal? I have a very good answer for you. Ready? I don't know. I don't have a clue. But I can tell you this. This is where the rubber meets the road for us. Ultimately, if we begin to try to quantify God's ways, to put it in a pretty little box that we can fully comprehend and understand, it would be a gross minimization of who he is. Okay? God is the creator of the universe. He's an eternal being, right? Last time I checked, these knees aren't going to last forever. Thank you, Lord. You know what I mean? Okay? Some of them go sooner, right? But ultimately, we aren't going to last forever. And my perspective, my mind, my imagination really does not even come close to even grasping the enormity that is God. And so if I try to take who God is in his eternal self and say, you know what? This is how it should work. This is what it should do. This is what needs to happen. I need to do step A, step B, and step C, and then this will happen, right? That is essentially to put God into a box that is my own limited perspective. Let's not minimize God today. The point is this. We don't know why. Are you going to be okay with that? We've got to be okay with it. doesn't mean we don't have faith, doesn't mean we don't have doubt, but to be comfortable with saying, you know what, even though I don't believe, God, don't understand, I choose to believe. Even though I don't comprehend what's happening, or I don't understand why things are happening the way they are in this world, I choose to believe that you're a God who loves, that you're a God who heals, and you're a God who speaks even now. Does that make sense? So this is where we're at today. So God's answer to our prayers at times isn't always going to be what we think it's going to be, right? Those responses aren't going to look that way, but to be comfortable with that and say, even though it may be a little awkward at times, I choose to listen and I choose to hold to the truth that I know that you have the best things in store for me. So that truth, we know that God still heals people. One example is this. Actually, I'll give you a Bible verse, Hebrews 13:8. First, it says this: Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I've said it several times, but I want to give you the scripture reference. I will come back multiple times. I think repetition for me helps. And so I'm going to give you guys like the same things a couple times to make sure that we hear these pieces and let them hold to us, okay? So there's that. I want to tell you a quick story. My brother, When I was in junior high, my brother and my dad didn't have the best of relationships. And for a while, a lot of my students know I'm the youth pastor here at True North. And I've told this story before. My brother and actually left for a period of about 2 years. He would come and go every once in a while, but I had no idea where he was. There wasn't a relationship. And whenever he would come home, there's always be some form of argument, or he'd challenge. It would just be AWK on a scale of 1 to 10. You know what I mean? Okay, so that was what was going on. Well, he always had some problems with the way he walked. My brother, when he was in high school, he had a nickname. They called him Sneed Magic, and it wasn't a good thing. He called him that because when he ran on his tiptoes when he played basketball. He had some major issues with his hips, and he wasn't able to roll from his heel to his toe. He would run on his tippy toes. Had great calves, let me tell you what. You know what I mean? So with him, like the pain that he walked through, he always had a limp, and it would be more distressed at different times. When he came home one time for Thanksgiving, he just showed up, and my dad was like, they was there, and they started a conversation. My dad said, "Hey, you know, I don't know, Matt," because he started asking questions and challenging. He said, "I don't know, but can I pray for your legs?" And my dad was a pastor at a small church in northern Minnesota at this time, and that was a part of the conflict that was there. And my brother, I remember the smirk on his face, he's like, "Yeah, go ahead." You know what I mean? So my dad asked him to sit in a chair, and he sat him in a chair, and my dad knelt before him, and he put my brother's like ankles in his hands like this, and began to pray. And as he began to pray, my brother has no relationship with Jesus at this time, he began to pray, I literally heard the popping and the cracking of his hips, and watched the leg straighten out and be the exact same length as the other leg. Now, my dad is not a chiropractor, okay? And all he did was touch my brother's ankles. Why do I tell you that story? Because I know that God moves, right? We know that he does things, but this is the crazy thing about it. Ready? My brother didn't have a relationship with Jesus. You know what I mean? Let's break the formulas of things for a second. God does what he wants, when he wants, and wherever he wants, and through whomever he wants, okay? He's God, all right? So for us to understand that and see what James is saying here is like, simply put, God wants to heal us, and he is also, because of that, he is clearly concerned about my soul. You see, God is concerned about my soul for this reason alone. He wants relationship with you. It's proven in this way for my brother. If my brother wanted nothing to do with Jesus, but Jesus still healed him, what does that tell you about God? He still loves him. You know? He still loves him. So we understand that that's the second truth, that God is also concerned about my soul. You see, we're all in process. Luke 10:19 says this. As we talk about the process in prayer, it says that Jesus telling his disciples, "I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the powers of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." You see, here's the deal. One of my favorite quotes of all time is, "The greatest of miracles is the one that he does within all of us." Okay? You can heal a leg, but maybe you still don't have eternity yet. You know what I mean? Let's have eternity. Let's have proximity with Jesus in heaven when we end up breathing our last breath. Does that make sense? This is a space for all of us to understand that truth. The next truth is this. God wants us to grow in faith. So we know that God heals. God is concerned about our soul. And now he wants us to grow. Somebody say grow. Absolutely. Someone who is still trying to grow said, I'm still trying. All right. That's right. Hebrews 11:6 says this. Pastor Josh just said, I'm still trying. Aren't you 6'5"? Mother of pearl, all right? I'll take some of that. Sweet Jesus. All right. So here's the deal. Hebrews 11:6 says this. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Earnestly seek him. There's a story that James talks about in this. It's about a man named Elijah. And I love this story. I'm going to kind of unpack it for you a little bit and connect it to him. So what James says in James 5, 17 through 18, he starts talking about this man, Elijah. Elijah was a prophet in the Old Testament. He was somebody who was a spokesman for God. He was emotional. He had doubts. He ran. He hid, he did all these things, he challenged God, but he still desired to be used by him, and God still used him. I could almost leave at this point and help us all really understand something. He still desires to use every single one of us, okay? It's got nothing to do with, like, all what we bring to the table, okay? It has to do with simply this, because if it had to do with that, then obviously not everyone would be picked, or we would feel that way. You know what I'm saying? It's easy to compare ourselves to others and say, they're more well-equipped. The story of Moses, if you remember his story, he tells God, don't send me to free the people because I have a speech impediment. I stammer. God says, no, I am calling you because I am. I am all that you need, okay? So when God chooses to use us, it has everything to do with him fulfilling, ooh, voice crack, has everything to do with him fulfilling who he is in you, okay? So here we go. He talks about Elijah, and he tells him this in 5:17 through 18. Elijah was a human being even as we are. Someone say, I am? You are, okay? Even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. This is a powerful story. What happens in this particular story is this. The nation of Israel has chosen to run from God. They've begun to worship other idols and choosing actually to persecute those who call on the name of Yahweh, those who believe in him. And so what Elijah is told by God to do is to announce that he is going to bring a drought, that God is bringing a drought through the words of Elijah to the land of Israel. And that's what happens. And he says this, it will not rain until I say so, through God. Okay? So this is what happened. The drought comes. There's so much that happens. Throughout this entire story, there's moments of God's like peace and promise in people's lives throughout the entire time of this drought. But this drought continues to get worse and worse. And when the appropriate time comes, when the king is like, you know what? I give in. You know what I mean? I tap out. Uncle, you know what I mean? When he gives out, throws in the white towel, that is when Elijah says, it's time. Okay? So what happens at this point in this story is Elijah comes before, you can see this whole story in 1 Kings chapter 17, okay? So go back and look at it. It's incredible. So in this space, he knows that first and foremost, he heard a word from God that said simply this. And this is where faith works for us and we see it, okay? Faith begins from a word from God. Elijah didn't move and didn't say, you know what? There's going to be a drought. On a whim, you know what I mean? It's not like he just sat there and said, oh, this is a good idea. I got it. You know what I mean? It's not like he said, thanks, God, for making me a prophet. I'll take it from here. Peace. You know? What he chose to do was listen from God, and God gave him a word. And therefore, at this point, you see this. It actually talks about it in chapter 17. He says this, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will neither be dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. I love this because he got a promise from God. Elijah got a promise that God would literally utilize him to be his instrument to bring a nation back to him. God got a word. In Romans 10, it says this, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I think all of us in this space, we understand the power of the spoken word. We understand that words can, in a lot of ways, break us, you know? That words can hurt. That words can bring affirmation. That words can carry curses or carry love. You know, there was something that went on in my family. And I'm going to tell you this story very quickly in the next 5 minutes. And we're going to jump in to spending time and seeking him. So get ready. Get ready. My dad came from an alcoholic home. In the hills of West Virginia and the Smokies, that's where they're from. But it wasn't in just his family. It was in my grandparents as well. And then in his grandparents and then his great-grandparents. You see, there was a lineage of alcoholism and physical abuse that was taken over that entire family. At this point, my granddaddy, so my father's dad, had moved his family down to Florida. I have a great-grandmother at that time who had stayed with her husband who beat her and was in an alcoholic situation until the day that her husband died. At that point, something shifted, and she ended up finding Jesus. And so at this, she began to pray for her children and her grandchildren. In that time, she never saw what happened next. My dad was the black sheep of the family, completely abused. There's so many different things that he went through. We don't have time to walk through, and that's not important. What is important is the redemption that took place. He ended up going into joining the Marines and meeting a pastor. This pastor led him to Jesus, and in that moment, he quit everything cold turkey. He quit alcohol was done. Drugs were done. He had no time for that. And then the process, he began to go through the process of redemption when it came to rage. Understand this, and this is what's important for you to know, as all of us here. Elijah heard a word from God, and so that was immediate. But what took place following was a process. Okay? A lot of us like the ending, but the process is really where we can cut our teeth. The process is really where God resides, because the process builds your faith. Because you won't appreciate the ending until you appreciate the journey. So what happens with my dad is simply this. As time went on, when he gave his life to Jesus, 2 weeks later, he meets my mom. They're roller skating. He's supposed to be the wingman and ends up cutting in, okay? Ends up marrying my mom. And then obviously out come four of us, all right? Boy, girl, boy, girl. Three of four. Whoop, whoop. Okay? But let me tell you this. This is where legacy hits. My mamaw prayed for her grandkids to know Jesus, my dad. And for alcoholism and abuse to no longer be in the home. Because of what God did, I believe through the prayers of my mamaw, I am a living legacy to that, because no hand was raised to hit me. No alcohol was ever in my home. That was a space of security. That was a place of rest. That was a place that God had ordained to be a place of healing. Were there struggles? Absolutely. But can I tell you something that's so powerful? The divine healing that took place because of a woman's prayers in the hills of West Virginia, I am living and walking out. I live and walk out today. And in November 3rd, when Bobby and I say hello to our son, Benaiah, who is going to be born on that day, when I say hello to him for the very first time, there will not be alcohol in my home. There will not be abuse. That will be a place where he can be what God has meant him to be. That is divine healing. And my mamaw won't ever see it on this side of glory, but she's seeing it in heaven. You see, the process of divine healing doesn't always happen immediately, but our trust and our faith in what God has is really where we have to hold. You see, this is what happens. We understand with faith, we have to continue to hold to what he said. We get the word, and then we continue to hold to what he said. You see, here's the deal. As time went on, Israel chooses to come back to God, and Elijah says, all right, it's time. He feels the Lord tell him it's time. And so he sends his servant to go look at the sea. It says, when you look out to the sea, you will see rain. And the servant comes back. It is in 1 Kings chapter 18. The servant comes back and says, there's no rain. And so Elijah said, all right, let's look back next week. You know what I mean? Let me put my feet up and be done for a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. He says, go back again. The servant comes back again. He says, go back again. Back and forth, back and forth. Seven times. Seven times he directs the servant to go back to the very space where there was nothing, where there wasn't a single thing. And for all of us, it's so powerful for us to understand this process. It didn't rain. There was nothing there. Seven times he goes back. And then the seventh time, this is what I'm going to read right here in 44. The seventh time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. And so Elijah says this, go and tell Ahab, this is the king, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. You see, here's the deal. The promises of God will not always look like you think. For if the promise of God, when it came to Elijah, it was a cloud as small as a man's hand coming up from the sea. It wasn't thunderclouds rolling in. It wasn't like there wasn't thunder and lightning. There was nothing like that at all. It was a simple, small cloud. You see, understand this. Never underestimate the power of small faith. Never underestimate the power of something that seems so small. Because what was something that was so small became a torrential downpour that began to sweep this nation and brought back prosperity, brought back rain, brought back life, all of those things. There's a scripture somewhere that says this. If you have the faith of what? A mustard seed. You can say to this mountain, move, and it'll uproot itself and be tossed into the sea. Let me tell you something. No matter your small measure of faith, what God can do with that when you place it at his feet today, when we spend this time and seek God for divine healing and reconciliation or whatever you need, understand your small measure of faith combined with God is limitless power and trust for him to do the miraculous and impossible. What is impossible for man is possible with God, because with him, all things are possible. Can I get an amen in the house? Come on. Man, I'm out preaching this today. Let's go, somebody. Come on. Galatians 6:9 says this, and this is what we need to see with process. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I think there's some here that need to hear that. Don't give up. Don't give up. Maybe you've gone down to the water multiple times. Maybe you've gone three times. You've gone four times. You still need to go seven. Don't stop. Don't stop looking. Don't stop seeking. Don't stop praying for that reconciliatory relationship. Don't stop praying for that divine healing. Don't stop praying for help from that sickness or just like the depression or the things that are holding us. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't give up. For those that wait upon the Lord, what? Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They should run and not grow weary. They shall walk and what? Not grow faint. Seven times. Because faith goes from a small beginning to that grand finale that we're talking about. You see, here's the deal. When this happens, and I would invite the worship team up. When this happens and the cloud comes up, it says this, that as he sent the servant to go tell the king, that this is what Elijah does. He tucks his cloak into his belt and he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Now he ran ahead of Ahab. Ahab was in a chariot and Elijah was on foot and he outran a chariot. Okay, can I tell you right now that when God answers prayers and when God moves in our life, I feel like I could outrun chariots too. You know what I mean? I feel like it, you know, and I'm ready for it. But can I tell you right now, the value of that is simply this. The freedom that he gained by holding to the promise that God had given him. The freedom that he gained by staying faithful and saying, I don't know, but I choose to believe. And I choose to keep going back because the words of God are true. And he kept going back and going back and going back. We literally lifted him in that moment. You know, maybe some of us. We're just one prayer away from a miracle. And you're discouraged. You've allowed doubt to hold you. You feel like you're treading water. You see, when we tread water, there are two different types of treading water. Sometimes we feel like we're just in a space where we're not moving anywhere, we're not doing anything. You're treading, you feel like you're just moving your legs, you're just kicking. Maybe, just maybe, what God is doing is building endurance within you to swim the rest of the way. But there's another type of us here, though, and we all go through this, okay? This is we'll call it a support group right now for this, okay? We all, at times, put ourselves in that holding pattern. you've heard things, you've been challenged by things in life, or you've heard from God before. And maybe, just maybe, you've allowed those dreams or those things that you've heard or the areas to grow, you've allowed those things just to kind of be sitting on the wayside. And you put yourself in the holding pattern of treading water. Don't start. Don't start holding that. Begin to pursue God. Swim. Go back. Go back. Go back. Hold to the promises. You know what God has said. If you're not sure, you can look in James. You can look in 1 Kings and hear from him. You see, the greatest miracle of all for all of us is eternal life. James 5:19 says this, "My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins." You see, the relationship that we all have an opportunity to have with Jesus, it's not about us understanding our past. It's about us embracing our future. We can't stand in this space and say this person's story is more powerful than mine, or this person went through all of this and so that's why they have the faith they have. No. We can't look to that, because God is the one that's in front of us, and he's the one that we're chasing, and he's the one that's responding. He's the one we're looking forward to, not backward to. Don't go back. Don't go back. What we're going to do is this. If you're like, you know what, Andrew, I'm here, and I've made a decision for Jesus before. I've chosen to kind of walk away. Or maybe for the first time, you're like, I've never had a relationship with Jesus, and I want to make that decision. We want to give you an opportunity today to experience what it is to have the King of the universe, the one who loves you and gave everything without any strings attached, a part of your life as your life leader. We're going to do that. I'm going to invite the ushers up as this happens. On your worship guide, when we do this, I want you to check the box that says, I've made a decision for Jesus. This is for us to come around you, to be a part of the community, to support you, and to help you understand what it is to be a son or daughter of Jesus. If that's you, we're going to pray real fast. And everyone, just bow your heads. If you're like, you know what, Andrew, it's time. It's time for me to choose Jesus. I'm going to pray with you. And this prayer doesn't have to sound like mine, but it can be your own, just whatever it is. But I'm going to pray. And then after that, we're all going to respond. If that's you and you're like, you know what, I choose Jesus today, just say this. Dear Jesus, I choose you. I'm tired of pursuing my own thing. I want to know what it means to be yours. Come into my life. Be my life leader. And let me follow you the rest of my days. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.